Results of Hugh's autopsy awaited. The editor of the 4 o'clock news, C. Campbell Crawford, Roger Skibbenus. Substituting this afternoon for Lyle Vann on WOR, our next news at 4:30 with Lester Smith. Now at 4:15, good afternoon to Bob and Ray.
Far out.
Hi, Ben.
Way out.
Roger.
Thank you, Roger. Yes, and hello again, everybody. We greet you on this beautiful April day here in New York.
Kind of gusty, kind of windy, though.
I didn't wear an outer coat today. I thought I'd risk it.
Well, apparently, I didn't yesterday, and I did today, you see.
I'll get by, I guess, until I get home, anyway.
We have a good show here. We're going to be here until 7, as usual. We've got some guests dropping by. Wally Ballew is out in Iowa for some reason today. Now, the primaries are in Wisconsin and New York,
right.
So he can't be covering a political story. Well, we'll find out later. Right now, I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's truly famous. It isn't often we get to talk with someone as famous as this gentleman. He is with us today. His name has become virtually a household byword throughout America, and I'd like for you to meet him right here now, Mr. Theodore Evans Pomfret. Hi, Mr. Pomfret. Certainly, want to thank you for taking time out from what I know is a most busy schedule to appear on our show here today.
Well, I like to keep in direct contact with the public whenever my itinerary permits it. It just happens that on this occasion I was able to squeeze you in between some other stuff.
Well, certainly,
I'm glad to be here with you.
It's a break for us, believe me. I imagine you're generally on the go day and night, aren't you, sir?
Well, it seems we've just done enough hours in the day for everything.
Guess not. You still operating out of the same place?
Oh, yes. I've been there now for almost 28 years, and for the good of the nation, you can bet your boots I'm not going to retire until they carry me out.
Well, I'm sure that comes as good news to our listeners, because things certainly wouldn't be the same without you, sir.
Well, sometimes I feel that I've let myself become involved in more endeavors than I really should have, but I just can't seem to betray a public trust, you know, once I've assumed it.
Well, I know.
You're Bob, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sure.
Mr. Pomfret, of course, it's that devotion to duty which has gained you so much respect, I might say.
Yes, I guess there isn't a schoolboy in the land who doesn't know how I feel about all that kind of stuff.
I'm sure there isn't.
Not that I blow my own horn. The accolades just roll in.
A lot of mail and all that, huh?
A very heavy mail. Telegrams, too. You'd be appalled.
Well, I guess I would.
Some stuff from crackpots. You always get those, of course.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Mostly heartfelt letters of thanks and devotion.
Well, that's only natural when
you know, I could chat like this for hours, but my schedule just doesn't permit it, so if you'll excuse me.
Certainly. We're just honored that you could make it at all, Mr. Theodore Evans Pomfret.
Hey, Bob?
What?
Who was that guy?
I don't know. I was going to ask you the same thing. You were the one who invited him, weren't you?
Oh, I didn't invite him. I thought you invited him.
No, I never heard of him before.
Well, then why'd you give him that big, fancy introduction there?
Well, he wrote it out, and I just read it.
What was his name again?
I forget, but whoever he was, you folks at home remember that you heard him first here on the Bob and Ray Show.
Mary Backstage, Noble Wife. The story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. Yesterday, Mary received her baptism of fire at Milan's La Scala Opera House, singing the role of Violetta in La Traviata. Now, as today's episode begins, it's close to the end of Act Two, Scene One. Harry as Germont faces Calvin as Alfredo, and we hear...
Rispondi d'un padre all'affetto, mille serpi divorami il petto, mille sape
lasciarti
come detto,
non giunti,
aspetta, appunto,
Calvin.
But I could hardly read those cue cards. Mr. Marlowe was holding them upside down and sideways.
Oh, who was that kid that ran across the stage in the
middle
of that
I could have choked the lady come out there yelling for the...
Mary?
Anthony.
Mary, did you hear us? How did it sound?
Sounded fine, but that interruption was just horrid. Who was that lady?
I don't know.
The little kid was a freshie, too. He stuck his tongue out at me as he ran across the stage and out through the back door.
Oh, well, at least we've all been on stage once. We're getting used to... Greg. Greg, how did we do?
How did we do?
How did we do, Greg?
Hey, are we ever doing it? Hey, you guys are all right.
Well, thanks very much.
You didn't miss the note.
Well, I thought we did pretty good for a first run-through. We were really...
Hey, Harry, that was terrific stick you had at having that kid run across the stage.
We were just discussing... That wasn't my idea,
Greg. That's a nice touch.
No, it was just a... It was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. Somebody just ran across.
Well, listen, take it from an old pro. Keep it in. It's good business.
Leave it in, huh?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Barry, all set for the big finale?
Yes, I believe I am.
Well, that doesn't come for a while yet, Greg.
Oh, I know. I better change the cards. I have the finale cards here.
And so, scene one of Act Two is completed at La Scala, and... Tomorrow you want to join us as the opera progresses, and we hear Calvin say...
Look, everybody's leaving the theater.
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage Noble What? Word Carr speaking.
Let's call him today. Presented by the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority.
And our guest on the Bob and Ray Hit Parade today is Mr. Lou Carter.
What's the matter with me? What's the matter with you? What's the matter with all of you guys? Why don't you get over there? Lena left me alone, but I know she'll come back. If yous all want to smack in the mouth, just let me hear a wise crack. Yous can have your fun, yous can have your joke. I can hear yous laughing out loud, but my heart ain't broke. Maybe some other time, yous will see what I mean. What's the matter with all of yous guys? Why don't yous get over there? You can have your fun, you can have your joke. I can hear you laughing out loud, but my heart ain't broke. Maybe some other time, you'll see what I mean. When I walk down the aisle with her, then you'll all turn green. Someday you guys will cry the blues, the day that I throw rice and shoes at Lena. Googly-ardy, my dear.
Where else but here could you hear a little bit of La Traviata and Lou Carter in the same 15 minutes?
That is unusual, you know. It's probably a first in radio.
I think so. I don't find that anywhere
really
else.
Great. Lou Carter and What's the Matter with You and What's the Matter with Me. Beautiful sentiment expressed musically by Lou Carter.
Medaglia d'oro.
And music now by Kent Lyle Birdley and his commercial separating orchestra.
That rounded out the musical spectrum pretty well for the 15 minutes just concluded.
Well, we really did cover all types of music in the past quarter hour.
Well, you're trying to appeal to everybody, Ray, and I think you've got to give credit where credit is due. Please as many types of listeners as you can.
Well, when you have Offer and Lou Carter and your orchestra all in the same 15-minute period.
Plus high good humor, don't forget that.
You're reaching everybody.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe.
And memories.
All right.
Seriously?
Yeah, we're quite serious about it all. Serious about trying to be funny, anyway.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yes, it is. All right, Bob and Ray here with you each day at WOR... Yes, Joe. WOR Radio, the talk of New York. It's 4:30 now, and here with the news, Lester Smith. Okay, and now it's 22 before 5. Time that we check the traffic for the first time this afternoon.
Right, and in helicopter 710, the proud papa of Heather Mead, Mr. George Mead.
Heather's 5 days old.
Yes, we brought her home this morning, and I'm afraid I'm going to hear that about 2 o'clock and then again about 6 o'clock. But like Heather, it's pretty good weather out, light as a feather. We can continue with those rides, but nobody really cares. But right now we're over downtown Brooklyn. I say we because we have an honorary co-pilot up here this afternoon, Irving Zeisel, who last was in a B-17 in World War II, sitting in the belly of that ship right now, sitting in the guts of helicopter 710 with a splendid view of the rush hour down in Brooklyn with heavy traffic in the northbound direction on the upper Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, and those delays begin to form up above Flushing Avenue. That's just at the bend in the Navy Yard from before the Williamsburg Bridge getting up towards the Kosciuszko Bridge. All lanes are open there. Southbound, we're in good shape. Lower Manhattan crossing is good. Look out if you're underneath the elevated portion of the FDR Drive. A pretty good-sized fire underneath the Brooklyn Bridge on the Manhattan side. There should be some fire apparatus responding to that one shortly. Down the lower BQE, we're just about normally heavy getting onto the outbound Gowanus. It is tight there. All lanes open. Gowanus and Prospect good. Along the east side, Midtown 59 Triborough crossings, no major problems. FDR Drive, much better than usual. Uptown, not bad going downtown. Deegan, a little bit better than the Harlem River Drive, approaching the GW Bridge. Bruckner system, good. Off and running outbound in Queens. LIE tight out to the fairgrounds. If you're coming up the upper BQE, the right lane is blocked. Just above Northern Boulevard, go ahead and squeeze left. We'll investigate the west side next, and right now we'll go back to more. Hey, gee, I was surprised at that commercial I saw with Carl Fisk. He's a young fella.
With who? I missed that. Commercial with who, George?
Well, the only commercials you see nowadays, that's why there's so many Democratic conventions. They all want to candidate. They all want to go on that American Express commercial. Just a young kid.
Right. Somebody said, I'd recognize Jack Nicklaus without those commercials.
Yeah.
I'd spot him by now. I've seen him on television Sunday afternoon since I was 11 years old, I think.
That's right.
Making a difficult putt.
But there's also one who looks like somebody else. Every time it comes up, I say it's the other fellow who looks a little bit like him. Well, it's a good campaign anyway. And we will join the folks at General Pharmacy right after this.
The medical remains capable of forethought and decisive action. The United States cannot...
Watch news that's clear. Reported by an experienced newsman who gets right to the heart of a story. Watch ABC News with Harry Reasoner.
About 36 hostages left on board. Almost 24 have managed to escape. There are at least 6 armed gunmen on board.
Watch news that's relevant. What each story means to you. Watch ABC News with Harry Reasoner.
Pilot reacting swiftly, turned off his autopilot, and dived 2,000 feet to miss the other wide-bodied jet. It was that close.
24 passengers...
Watch news that puts events in perspective. What happened today and what it means. Watch ABC News with Harry Reasoner. On the network, more people are watching. Watch ABC News tonight at 7 on Channel 7.
Welcome now to General Pharmacy, the dramatic story of handsome young druggist Ross Flecknoy and his struggle to save mankind at the prescription counter of a pharmacy still technically owned by his aging father. As our scene opens today, Ross is filing his antibiotics in alphabetical order when an obviously rich matron he has never seen before suddenly approaches.
Good day, young man. I don't imagine you read the society columns, otherwise you'd know immediately that I'm Mrs. Pamela Warfield, the noted philanthropist and wealthy matron. Unfortunately, I've been suffering from a deep depression lately. I get the blues when it rains. So my doctor has given me this prescription to be filled.
I'll be with you in just a moment, ma'am. I must get these antibiotics filed in alphabetical order first. The names are so similar that it's the only way I can keep from dispensing the wrong drug.
Very well, but no hurry. It's not just that I get the blues when it rains. They're the blues I can't lose when it rains.
Well, as I live and breathe, if it ain't old Pamela Warfield. Remember me, Shady Liblow? I courted you 30 years ago before you went off and married Mr. Moneybags.
Well, I hardly think our acquaintance could be called a courtship. My father had you thrown off our estate whenever you tried to come calling.
All right, ma'am, I can fill your prescription now.
Of course, that proved to be quite fortunate. I might never have married millionaire G. Carter Warfield if you'd still been hanging around. We were quite happy together until I got the blues.
Well, I admit I ain't never made it big in life, Pamela. I just run a little cigar stand on the corner that's really a front for my bookie operation.
Carter and I toured the continent a number of times. In fact, we were wintering on the French Riviera when I first began to feel down in the dumps.
If it's too much trouble to get the prescription out of your handbag, I could call a doctor for the information. I'm personally acquainted with most of the specialists here in town.
I really don't know why I get so depressed. Suddenly, all the beautiful people in the jet set didn't seem nearly as beautiful as they used to.
Well, we all have our ups and downs, Pamela. I remember the day a nag named Weak Image romped home and paid 30-1. I was stuck with so many winning bets to pay off, I'm still in hock to the loan sharks.
Carter raised thoroughbreds at our estate in Kentucky. Sometimes it seemed that he thought more of those horses than he did of me. That's one of the things that made me feel lousy.
I still can't figure how Weak Image won that race. He was last in a field of nine at the head of the stretch. Then the other entries all just folded up.
Carter did everything he could to bring me out of it. He even gave me a young horse of my own, but that wasn't what I wanted.
If you won't give me your prescription, ma'am, I'll have to wait on this gentleman here first.
I raced the horse at a few local tracks, but he was a born loser.
I ain't got no prescription, pal. I just came in here to hide from the loan sharks. This is their collection day, and I'm broke.
I suppose Carter's greatest gesture to cheer me up was the time he fixed a horse race so my entry could win. But I knew something was fishy. Weak Image could never have won an honest race.
Pamela, would you go before the racing commission and tell them what your husband did? Having Weak Image disqualified might keep the loan sharks from breaking all my bones.
Me? Go before the racing commission? That does sound like kind of a fun thing to do. I haven't looked forward to anything with much pleasure lately, but suddenly I feel the cloud lifting. And I think I'm going to be just fine now.
And so, handsome young druggist Ross Flecknoy again makes his vital contribution to the saving of a human life. But is serving mankind the only fulfillment he needs to find happiness? Be sure to join us next time when we'll hear the chairman of the Racing Commission say,
"Now we're turning you over to the authorities for criminal prosecution, Mrs. Warfield."
That's in the next thrilling episode of General Pharmacy. There are over 50 local Midas shops in the New York metropolitan area, including northern New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, Rockland, Orange, and southern Connecticut. Consult your yellow pages for the shop nearest you.
I'll follow you anywhere on earth, to the Sahara Sand or Disneyland, or the edge of Fort Worth. If you went to a fountain in Rome for a wish, or to Japan to catch a fish, if you decide to take a bus ride to Schenectady, the place of your birth, I'd go through Syracuse and Albany. No place would be too far for me. I'll follow you anywhere.
Wouldn't it be wonderful following you, darling? I'd start out on a transcontinental White Hound bus. They have two travel plans on this bus, tourist and first class.
Yes.
Just like the steamships. You see, the first class passengers get the first class seats. Naturally, the seats not over a wheel. These seats are also in the front half of the bus to see the view before the tourist seats see it. All first-class passengers have dinner with the bus driver, the first night out. First dinner stop is a little diner in Bucyrus, Ohio, and we all sit at the driver's table. First-class passengers on the bus have other privileges, too. They can play shuffleboard in the aisles, attend harmonica concerts regularly, and they can even gamble. They have a pool based on the number of rest stops the bus will make each day. And speaking of rest stops, at all rest stops, the first-class passengers are the first ones off the bus, naturally.
I go to Kankakee, or Waukee, or Cherokee, or Kentucky, to cling to you and sing to you a song of love in any key of all you anywhere.
Far out.
Now, the makers of Einbinder Flypaper, a name you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations, invite you to ride with the men of Squad Car 119.
My name's Sam Finch. Me and my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., are the unsung heroes of the police force. We ride a prowl car at night. Sometimes cold weather makes the gear shift stick, other times it doesn't. Either way, we're always on the lookout for trouble. The other evening, we just finished rousting a suspect when my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., turned to me and said,
I sure hate writing up reports when I get to that space where I have to put in the suspect's height, Sam.
Well, why do you hate doing that, Ralph R. Jr.?
Well, I never know how tall they are, Sam. I keep them bending over the hood of the squad car so they can't try anything funny. And it's tough to estimate a person's height when he's bending over the hood of the squad car.
Yeah, good point. You really have to tell a suspect to stand up straight before you can estimate how tall he is.
I know, and I really hate to do that, Sam. I'd rather keep him bending over the hood of the squad car so he can't try anything funny.
Yeah, good point. Why don't you just put down 5'10" for that last suspect we rousted? 5'10" is an average height.
I'm not sure an average figure will do for this report, Sam. The last suspect we rousted was only 6 years old.
Yeah, that's right, and he wasn't anywhere...
Calling Car 119. Car 119. A hold-up in progress at the liquor store at 4329 East Alvarado. Approach with caution, 119.
4329 East Alvarado, huh?
That's us, Sam. Let's roll.
On my way, Ralph R. Jr. What was that address again? 4239 East Alvarado?
I don't think so, Sam. I've got it written down here at 3249.
Yeah, I could have sworn the dispatcher said 4239. Better call in and ask him to repeat it.
Oh, I hate to do that, Sam. It makes it sound like we weren't paying attention the first time.
Good point, yeah. Maybe we should drive to both places. Not likely there'd be one liquor store at 2439 and another one at 2349.
Good point, Sam.
Yeah.
Except what I've got written down is 3249. What you just said was 4239.
I thought you wrote down 2439 and I said 2349.
No, that couldn't be, Sam. I don't think there is a 23 or 2400 block in East Alvarado. But I guess we could stop by precinct headquarters and look at the big wall map to check on that.
Yeah, good point. Is precinct headquarters at 8400 East 93rd or 9300 East 84th?
Beats me, Sam. The dispatcher didn't say, so I haven't got it written down here.
Yeah, well, we're still...
Car 119. Car 119. Disregard that call and a holdup in progress at 4329 East Alvarado. The case has been handled by the men of Squad Car 148. The suspect has been apprehended, booked, and brought to trial. 1 minute. The results of that trial.
While we wait to hear the outcome of today's exciting case, here's a timely tip from the makers of Einbinder Flypaper. Friends, the summer yachting season is closer than you may think. And scientists have recently found out that the common housefly is capable of traveling as far as 20 miles out to sea. So, if you're planning an ocean cruise and think you're safe with nothing more than a can of seagull repellent, you'd better heed this word of warning. Luckily for you, Einbinder Flypaper is now available in a variety of gay nautical colors. So cover your poop deck and mizzenmast with the flypaper yachtsmen prefer. Einbinder, the brand you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations.
The suspect in that liquor store holdup at 4329 East Alvarado was found guilty of involuntary robbery after proving that he intended to rob the store at 2439 East Alvarado. Under California law, involuntary robbery is punishable by the same prison term as intentional robbery. 10 years at San Quentin.
So another desperate criminal is brought to justice thanks to the unsung heroes of the police force, the men who ride the squad cars at night.
On WOR Radio 710, The Talk of New York. Now more of Bob and Radio New York.
And right now, we'd like to hurry along to that special feature that we call the Bob and Ray Beg Your Pardon Show. It's a portion of the program where we apologize in person to some individual who may have been embarrassed by an inaccurate statement we made about him or her on the air.
Well, naturally, our skilled reporters along the Bob and Ray Network don't make many mistakes of that type, but in their frantic rush to bring you the news quickly, it's only natural that a few small errors do creep in occasionally. And the victim of one of those trivial mistakes is here with us today. He's Mr. Norman Werbant of Lake Forest, Illinois. And Mr. Werbant, we've shelled out more than $100 to bring you here to New York just so we could shake your hand and tell you we're sorry.
Well, it was a lovely gesture, even though I would have preferred not to ride that far on the bus. But in any event, I don't hold you people personally responsible for turning my life upside down.
Well, that's very charitable of you, Mr. Werbant. I might just tell our listeners that your problems began shortly after the Bob and Ray Network ran a story about the valuable paintings you stole. Isn't that correct, sir?
No, that's not correct. In fact, you just repeated the same mistake you made originally. I didn't steal the paintings. I was the owner of the paintings that were stolen.
Well, isn't that just splitting hairs by saying the same thing in different words, Mr. Werbant?
Well, no, not at all. I'm inclined to think you're not listening to what I said any more than the reporter who covered the story in the first place. See, I happen to be quite a wealthy man.
Well, if I could just cut in right there, Mr. Werbant, the size of your bankroll, I want you to know, wouldn't keep us from broadcasting the news as we see it.
Well, that's very commendable, except in my case, you see it wrong. I owned one of the largest collections of rare paintings on the North Shore of Chicago. And last month, four of my masterpieces, valued at more than $500,000, were stolen.
Yes, we carried a story on that event, and I have a copy of what was broadcast right here. It identifies the four paintings and estimates their value at $500,000. So I don't even see the mistake that we brought you here for. I don't see anything here to apologize
for.
Well,
the mistake was you said I stole the paintings. And as I just finished telling you, they were my paintings that somebody else stole.
Oh, I believe I see the point that you're trying to make now, sir. And I admit that that's an interesting sidelight.
Well, it's a little more than a sidelight. I've been impeached as chairman of the board of directors of the Lake Forest Art Gallery, and your story was responsible for that.
Well, I don't know why you're dumping that on our laps, Mr. Werbant. I don't imagine any gallery would want a known art thief to be chairman of its board of directors. And you really should have thought of that before you stole the pictures.
Look, maybe I still haven't made my point clear. The pictures that were stolen belong to me.
Well, I don't care who they belong to. That doesn't change the nature of the crime. In fact, I don't think the story we broadcast even mentioned the owner of the paintings, did it?
Well, the story mentioned me, but it said I stole the pictures. That's the part you people got mixed up.
I see. Well, if you're claiming you didn't steal the paintings, then who did?
Well, the police don't know yet. They were well-known masterpieces, so that would make them impossible to sell on the open market in this country. That's why the theory is that they were taken by a professional gang of international art thieves who smuggled them into Eastern Europe by way of South America.
Well, I must say you have a vivid imagination to dream up a story like that, Mr. Werbant. It's too bad, you know, that a man with your quick mind became a common thief.
Mr. Golding, I happen to be a millionaire several times over.
Yes, yes, I imagine that's true. Unfortunately, crime does pay.
I'm not a criminal. I was the victim.
Sure. Well, of course, we're hearing that plea more and more in our courtrooms these days. But I really don't think you can expect society to take the responsibility for what you've done.
I haven't done anything. You guys got the story turned around and ruined me. My kids have even been kicked out of an exclusive private school in Winnetka.
Well, I guess it's always the children who suffer, and we're sorry to cause embarrassment to the families of people like you, but it's our job to report the news. So I hope you'll try to explain that to your youngsters when they're a little older. and come to see you on visiting day.
I think I could explain it to them right now if you just apologize and say you're sorry you made a mistake.
Okay, if it'll make things easier for your children, we apologize. Naturally, we're sorry you made a mistake. We always hate to see a man ruin his life by turning to crime.
It's wrong.
Now, you just run along, sir, while we invite our listeners to join us soon for the next edition of the Bob and Ray Beg Your Pardon Show.
Said it wrong.
Once again, it's time for Grand Motel, a speck of a place, a heck of a place on Route 14 near Hadleyville, where the mountains meet the sky and living is easy as pie. As our story begins today, we find uncompromising owner Leonard Humphrey opening a brand new box of Do Not Disturb signs. Suddenly, a road-weary stranger enters the office of Grand Motel.
Well, howdy, stranger. You sure look road-weary. You're lucky I just got in this fresh box of Do Not Disturb signs. I'll see you get one to hang on your door after you've checked in.
Well, I'm not entirely sure I'll be checking in here. It depends on your policy about pets. None of the other motels around here will let me stay because I've got Rover with me. How about you?
Oh, I'm sorry, friend. We don't allow dogs in the room. A lot of them chew the enamel right off our expensive iron bed.
Daddy, wait. Please don't tell the man that anything like that until I can get there and discuss the matter with you.
Well, I don't know why I can't tell the man about our other people's dogs chewing the enamel off our beds. If you want to discuss it first, I'll wait.
Who's that gray-looking dame in the checkered apron? She looks like a movie star.
She's my daughter.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so thankful I got here before you drove the man away with your uncompromising attitude. We need his business badly, so we can afford to have our new batch of Do Not Disturb signs sprayed with something that makes them glow in the dark.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Naomi. The lighting around here is so bad, you could only see them in broad daylight when the guests wouldn't mind being disturbed anyway. So I'll tell you what, stranger. I'll make an exception and let you and your dog Rover stay here.
Well, I never said Rover was a dog. A lot of motels would have let me have him there if he was a dog. He's an elephant. Some people don't like having elephants around. In a strange place, they tend to get excited and pull up trees and things.
Well, I wouldn't want to take a chance on that. So we better just forget the whole thing.
Daddy, how can you be so uncompromising? We can't afford to be choosy when we need money to spray those signs with glow-in-the-dark paint before we can use them.
Well, all right, Naomi. Under the circumstances, I'll break the rules and let the elephant stay. Be sure you keep him tethered.
Oh, that won't be any problem. Incidentally, that movie star's got brains as well as good looks. I wonder why a big celebrity would be hanging around a dump like this wearing a checkered apron.
She's not a celebrity. She's my daughter.
Well, if that's the story you're giving out, it's okay with me. Now, as soon as we get settled, would you have room service send over a couple of bales of hay for my elephant?
We don't have room service. I run this place alone. I'm too old to be carrying bales of hay to your elephant.
Daddy, I'm sure the feed store would deliver it to the man's room.
Well, all right, Naomi. And I'll just put the charge on his bill.
You know, there's just one thing I'm wondering about.
Well, I can stop wondering about it because she's not a movie star. She's
my daughter. Already stopped wondering about that. What I'm wondering is how you can be sure I'll pay you for the hay. I won't just sneak out of here in the middle of the night.
Well, I don't know. For one thing, it's hard to sneak out with an elephant. Besides, I got a trusting nature.
Is that so? Well, I get nervous staying at a motel where the owner has a trusting nature. There's no telling what kind of bad things you let happen around here. I think I'd better hunt for someplace else where my elephant and I will feel safer. So long, pal.
Well, I'm sorry, Naomi. I thought I was doing the right thing.
Has uncompromising owner Leonard Humphrey's uncompromising nature finally caused him to go too far? Or will it all turn out for the best? Because glow-in-the-dark, do-not-disturb signs might have glowed too brightly and disturbed the guests. Perhaps we'll find out more next time when another weary traveler seeks the peaceful quiet of Grand Motel.
It is midnight.
The Crutchford Braid and Tassel Company invites you to share another nostalgic interlude in the lives of the Pittmans.
When I was a young boy, growing up amid the prairie of Oklahoma, great dust storms blew across the land. I remember that my father carefully harvested the dust from the fields and stored it away in the loft of our big old barn. He always dreamed of a day that was never to come when there would be a shortage of dust and he would become wealthy. As a boy, I never thought of my father as being foolish, for I was too busy withdrawing all the happiness I could from each new day. I remember one occasion in particular when I rushed in to share an experience with my parents.
Hey, Ma. Pa, I've just been out withdrawing all the happiness I could from each new day, so naturally I stopped by the Chinese restaurant in town, and guess what?
Well, I reckon I don't know, Jimmy Joe. I can't even guess why a person looking for happiness would go past that Chinese restaurant in town. I hear they only serve some kind of food that's cut up in little bitty pieces. And nothing to drink but hot water.
Well, that stuff they drink is tea, Pa. But the thrilling part is that they've offered me 25 cents a week to write the gems of wisdom that go inside their fortune cookies.
Well, I'm just not sure what to think about that, Jimmy Joe. I know you plan to become a famous author, and this could be your first paying job doing it, but the people who run that Chinese restaurant are foreigners of some kind.
Well, that's true, Ma, and I'm well aware that your mother's love for our family causes you to hate almost everybody else. But I've already told the foreigner who runs the restaurant that I don't want to be corrupted, and he said I could have the job anyway. So do you want to hear the very first fortune cookie I've written?
Well, I reckon it would be all right, Jimmy Joe, if these people understand that you're not going to eat their food. We'll let them ruin your morals some other way.
Oh, sure, Pa. We're all clear on that. So here's the poem I wrote to go inside one of their fortune cookies. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief.
Now, wait a minute, Jimmy Joe. Did you say all this was going to go inside one cookie?
Yeah, normally they just have one line like, you will come into money, or you're going on a long trip. But when you're a great poet like me, you can't split the thing up and just put one line inside each cookie. Wouldn't make any sense.
Well, you may have a point there, Jimmy Joe, but I can see that the poem you've got in your hand runs on for several more pages, and I don't think the people at the restaurant are going to make bigger cookies just so it'll fit inside. So why don't you just throw your poem away and get along to bed, son?
Oh, okay, if you think that's the only way I can keep from being fired from my new job. Good night, Pa. Good night, Ma.
Good night, Jimmy Joe. Good night, Uncle Kermit.
Good night, Cousin Sadie. Good night, Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter.
Buenas noches, Aunt Carmelita.
Good night, King Haakon of Norway. Good night, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands.
Good night, Roy Boy. Good night, Jimmy Joe.
Good night, Ma. Good night, 1938 Boston Red Sox.
In the years ahead, I was destined never to have one of my poems published inside a fortune cookie. But that disappointment was a small one compared with all the years of joy I experienced growing up in that big old farmhouse.
Good night, Admiral Balbo and King Zog.
Even now, across the wide gulf of time, those happy days still come alive in the far corners of my memory.
Good night, water faucets. Good night, lamp cords.
For me, those years of my boyhood will never die. The joyous recollections of things past live on forever.
This week's episode of The Pittmans has been brought to you by the Crutchford Braid and Tassel Company, producer of nifty doodads to make a shabby home look more presentable. So whether you need a complete new fringe for your embroidered picture of Pocahontas, or only a few fuzzballs to put new life in your kitchen curtains, the name to yell at your dealer is Crutchford. And be sure to join us soon for another story of nostalgic warmth in the lives of the Pittmans.
Our correspondent Wally Blue is standing by in Dubuque, Iowa, with what promises to be an interesting report. Come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Lee Ballou speaking from the bank of the Mississippi River in Dubuque, Iowa. The Dubuque Stone Skipping Club is holding its weekly meeting here at this moment. And with me at the microphone is a gentleman who's taken time out to talk to my radio audience, the president of this unusual group, Mr. Otto Frank.
And this is Otto Frank, sending felicitations to stone skipping fans everywhere from the stone skipping capital of the world.
Just so everybody will know what we're talking about, Mr. Frank, I suppose we should say that stone skipping is the act of throwing a rock in such a way that it'll bounce along the surface of the water.
Well, that's quite an oversimplification, Mr. Ballou, but basically, yes, that's the idea.
I'm sure most people think of stone skipping as pretty much of a children's pastime, but most of your club members here seem to be grown men.
Yes, our members are all businessmen in Dubuque. We have one fellow who's about 35, and he's a long way from reaching his peak. I'm 51 myself, and I've just become the champion stone skipper of the world.
Well, congratulations. But this is the champion decided on the basis of distance, is it?
Yes. The river is about a mile wide here at this point, Mr. Blue, and if I get a good, well-balanced stone, I can skip it all the way across and about, well, halfway through the business district of East Dubuque.
Well, that certainly is amazing.
It
you
is.
Need a good, flat stone for a performance like that,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, a thin stone about the size of a half a dollar seems best for me.
Uh-huh.
You find a lot of them along the river back here. Now, that's not true, incidentally, on the other bank.
Oh.
For some reason or other, the fellows who throw from East Dubuque have to come over here to get their stones.
Well, there's a little sidelight that we haven't known about before. They have a stone-skipping club in East Dubuque, then.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
In fact, you can see some of them over there right now. See those five or six fellows over in the boat landing?
Yeah, I see.
Are they getting ready to start skipping?
Well, our time is beginning to run a little short here, and we certainly would like to get a demonstration on the air of your championship form. I wonder if you'd skip a couple of stones for us.
All right, I'd be happy to. Now, here's a good flat one.
Uh-huh.
Seems to be basically granite, I guess. Good weight, nice balance. You just hold it between the thumb and forefinger, and you rear back and let her go. There she goes.
Hey.
Not bad.
That was a beauty. Let's try just one more. Ouch! What was that?
Don't pay any attention to that. Yeah, you got hit by one of the fellows skipping from over in East Dubuque.
Well, it clipped me right in the back of the head. Ouch! There's another one.
Yeah, the boys over there are really in good form today. I think that's the first window they've broken in the boathouse about a month.
Oh, well, I've got to get out of here. Where can I get away from all of this?
Don't pay any attention to it. They're just rocks. Now, here's another granite piece that's a little thicker than I like.
I got the idea.
I'll see what I can do with it.
No, never mind.
Now, you rear back.
Well, this is Wally Ballou. Dubuque, Iowa, sending it back to Bob and Ray in New York.
Don't let it bother you.
Well, good old Uncle Sam has done it again.
And you know, traditionally, there have only been two choices in coffee. Regular coffee and, that's right, decaffeinated. But now, there's a coffee on the market that you want to know about. It's Cava, the only instant coffee that's 90% acid neutralized. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that Cava, because it is acid neutralized, tastes rich, smooth, and never bitter. As a matter of fact, it's so rich that most people who drink Cava drink it black. They don't want to mask Cava's rich, smooth taste with cream and sugar. Now, that's a great tip for you constant dieters who are looking for coffee satisfaction without the calories of cream and sugar. Cava not only gives you great, smooth taste, but also supplies that morning lift you look for in your coffee. Cava Coffee, the great, smooth-tasting instant coffee from Borden. 90% acid neutralized. Cava, down on acid, up on taste.
National Airlines proudly announces the very grand opening of lots of vacation stores in your area. They're all the travel agents near you, and they're fully stocked with terrific spring and summer national holidays, like Florida Fly Dry Vacations, Miami Beach Specials, Walt Disney World Holidays, exotic Caribbean cruises, and much, much more. A vacation store is as near to you as your nearest travel agent. Visit one of the 2,284 in the New York area and tell them National Airlines sent you.
And now, the Auburn Motor Company, maker of fine cars up to but not including 1938, brings you another episode of The Gathering Dusk, a heartwarming story of a girl who battles misfortune by giving up without a fight. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is taking inventory of her raspberries in the upstairs fruit closet. It's early afternoon, and Reverend Yackel, the pastor of the small church in the village, is just arriving.
Oh, it's you, village interdenominational church pastor Yackel. I hope you haven't neglected any souls that need saving just to answer my urgent call.
No, not at all, Miss Bessinger. In fact, I imagine you could use some pastoral counseling as much as anyone else in town. I haven't seen you at Sunday services for quite some time.
Well, I've started to come several times, but then I always find the Sunday paper there on the stoop, and by the time I've finished reading the sports page, it's too late to make it.
Yeah, I think most of the other members of the congregation wait until after church to read the paper, though.
Well, I don't see how anybody could do that. People wouldn't know how much to put in the collection plate until they found out whether they'd won their bets on the Saturday ball games.
Oh, Miss Bessinger, I don't believe other members of the congregation bet on sporting events. I try to discourage them from that sort of thing.
Well, of course, I only bet on religious institutions like Southern Methodist and Texas Christian. I'd never dream of doing any gambling that wasn't approved by the church.
Well, I'm afraid none of it is approved by the church. Name of the school you're betting on doesn't change what the good book says.
Well, I think I deal with a fairly good book myself. He's the little bald-headed fellow who runs the cigar stand in the lobby of the post office, and he's never welched on a payoff yet.
Miss Bessinger, I was referring to the Bible when I mentioned the good book.
Oh, yes, I read part of that from time to time. I thought the plot was kind of interesting, but I just couldn't keep track of all the characters.
I see. Well, I'm afraid it's going to be rather difficult to discuss religion with you then, but I have a feeling that's not what you can call me over here to talk about anyway.
No, you're right enough about that, Village Interdenominational Church Pastor Yackel. I've been terribly upset ever since I spotted you leaving Grandma Wanderman's house yesterday. And then when I saw those men carrying out the casket, I knew the worst had happened.
Well, I'm sorry if you've been grieving about Grandma Wanderman because...
Well, I wasn't exactly grieving. I just thought it was pretty bad of the family not to invite me to her funeral. The Wandermans always serve food when one of them passes on, you know.
No, I didn't know that. But I can assure you that I wasn't over there yesterday for a funeral. Grandma Wanderman just got a new color TV set, and she invited me to come over and take a look at it. I guess it was the TV delivery men carrying out the packing case that you mistook for a casket.
Son of a gun, that's a distinct possibility, Village Interdenominational Church Pastor Yackel. You can't imagine how relieved I am to know that Grandma Wanderman is alive, and I may still get a shot at some free food when she finally kicks off. Why, I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
Can it be that Edna may now find true happiness, safely assured that she wasn't neglected when the invitations went out to Grandma Wanderman's funeral? Or will it only lead to further heartbreak when she learns that food was also served to those who were invited to see the new TV set? Join us for the next exciting episode when Edna may be forced to root through the Wanderman's trash for leftovers in the gathering dusk.
This is the story of a marvelous little pear-shaped tomato.
That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's going to stay. Because to TWA, being the best isn't everything, it's the only thing.
Okay, Stan, good night. We'll see you tomorrow. And that does it for Bob and Ray for this Tuesday.
The Fulton Lewis News commentary comes up next, and following that, the WOR Radio Mystery Theater. Tonight stars William Redfield and Robert Dryden in The Boy Wonder.
And we'll see you tomorrow at 4:15. Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get worried.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
And this is WOR New York, an RKO General Station.